audio for Haijin and Canton. This is the standard version. If you have the ER version, which you should see at the top of your paper, you will want to use the other audio track. Section 1 is anti-foreign opinion. The Chinese Empire's attitude towards non-Chinese was always fairly negative. As early as the Sui Dynasty, China considered itself the greatest culture and greatest state on earth. Foreign influence on China was always viewed as a threat to China's culture and civilization. But after the Mongol conquest and the Mongol-run Yuan Dynasty, this only grew worse. The Yuan treated the Chinese horribly, and after they were expelled, China became obsessed with protecting its culture. Haijin. In 1371, 3 years after the Ming Dynasty began and the Yuan Dynasty had ended, the Haijin was put into place by the emperor. The Haijin simply means sea ban. The idea was to stop Japanese piracy and to free up China's soldiers to finish off the last remnant of the Mongol army. The sea ban abolished all private naval commerce throughout China. To enforce it, the government destroyed ships, shipyards, and ports in southern China and punished merchants with death. The Treasure Fleet. Only private trade was banned by the Haijin, which meant that the central government could still participate in trade. It did this with the use of massive fleets called treasure fleets. These ships would travel twice a year to all of China's allies to conduct trade. To allies who had upset China, they would be punished by only one or no visits from the fleet. However, as large as the treasure fleet was, it was still a dramatic reduction in trade for China. It was also expensive, and by the 1470s, the treasure fleets had stopped running, because the government just didn't have the money. Did it work? Short answer, no. The Haijin was completely counterproductive. By 1450, piracy was at the worst it had ever been in or around China. The ban on trade meant that people living on the coast of China could no longer make money legally, and so many turned to smuggling and piracy. In fact, by 1450, most of the quote-unquote Japanese pirates were actually Chinese. All right, why? China kept the Haijin in place for 200 years. It was not just to fight pirates. Even casual Chinese observers at the time noted how ineffective the policy was for fighting pirates. Most historians believe that the sea ban was actually kept in place to support the central government against the wealthy classes of southern China. It was also intended to defend Chinese culture, which was considered to be under threat from foreign influences. Most concerning to the emperors were radical forms of Buddhism from Japan, Islam from Central Asia, and Christianity from Portuguese traders, which didn't start till around 1470. How did it hurt China? Many ways. Firstly, the government lost a huge amount of tax revenue. This was especially difficult considering that the Ming Dynasty also spent a lot of money. It built the modern Great Wall, which was an incredibly expensive project. And then that was combined with the treasure fleets, which were expensive, and the expense of supporting China's million-man army, which was the largest in the world at the time. Because of all this, the Ming Dynasty often was fighting to not go bankrupt. And second, China was starting to isolate itself from diffusion. For the first time in 1,000 years, China was not the center of world innovation. And the Haijin came at just the right time to worsen China's disadvantage. China missed out on such inventions as the musket, the steam engine, the telescope, vaccines, and countless others, which were at this time being invented mostly in Europe. The Great Clearance. The Haijin was briefly abandoned due to money issues at the end of the Ming Dynasty, but it was reinstated by the Qing Dynasty in the first years of their reign. The Qing Dynasty also took the sea ban much further. In 1661, the Qing ordered all people living on the coast of southern China to destroy their homes and move 10 miles inland. It's called the Great Clearance. And this clearance did not last long, but it did signal a period of intensified restrictions on trade. Under the Qing, China became more isolated than it had been even under the Ming. The Canton System. Shortly after the end of the Great Clearance, the Qing Dynasty shifted its trade policy. It formally abolished all foreign trade throughout China, except through the single port of Canton, which is now known as Guangzhou. Although this technically was a lighter restriction than the Haizhen, which was finally abandoned, it was also more easily enforced, leading China to actually become more isolated than it had been under the stricter Haizhen policy. Technological decline. Isolated behind the Haizhen and Canton systems, China fell further and further behind Europe. By 1600, Europe had caught up to China technologically, and by 1800, Europe was greatly ahead of China. It is unclear to the extent to which this decline was caused by China's isolation, but the isolation certainly wasn't helping. Had lines of diffusion been open, China probably would have received some of the newer inventions from Europe. However, China's intellectual community also shares some of the blame. By rejecting foreigners, they closed themselves to the new ideas that drove Europe's period of innovation. The imperial exams were also to blame. They might have had a hand in the decline, as they absorbed much of the time of intellectuals that might have otherwise been spent studying science, math, or engineering. And that's the end.